Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spandana Spurti Financial Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Fazan. Good evening to all of you. Thank you for taking time out to join the call. Thank you for showing interest in our company. Friends, over the past two quarters, we've been trying to steer Spandana towards the path that we had articulated for the organization through the Vision 2025. Suffice to add, we are moving on the right path. We have received tremendous support from all of you, all our stakeholders, which is lenders, shareholders, employees and our customers, thus giving us the confidence of achieving what we set out to achieve by FY 2025. Friends, quarter two was a quarter of consolidation. We are measuring our steps and taking prudent calls to ensure that the next level of growth for the organization is built on a robust foundation. With this, let me move to the quarter two results. While the results have been uploaded, and I know there are some technical challenges on the site, but BSE it was uploaded, I think, slightly more than an hour back, and NSE also it is more or less there. But I'll take you through the results and brief highlights and happy to take questions now or from tomorrow. So while the results have been uploaded, I would want briefly to take you through the same. So let me start with the first point, which is on ratings. Spandana's rating was ratings watch until quarter one. Post the various developments in the operating environment, all the three agencies have dropped the rating watch. Our ratings now are India rating, it is A stable from rating watch with negative implications. CRISIL, we are A stable from ratings watch with developing implications. And ICRA, A minus stable from ratings watch with developing implications. So this was one of the highlights of the quarter. The second highlight, and here I would want to just build on this, which is the borrowing story. One of the key challenges that we as a management team had was to start the borrowing cycle from our existing and new lenders. Together as a team, that was a single important task that we had committed to ourselves, more so because this is the primary driver for fueling our growth plans. We have made the right start. We've onboarded 10 additional lenders, two new first-time lenders. We borrowed during the quarter 1,080 crores against 155 crores in quarter one and 308 crores in quarter four of FY22. The marginal cost of borrowings has decreased from 14% in Q4 of FY22 to 13.1% in Q1 of FY23 to 12.64 in quarter 2 of FY23, which is the last quarter. So 14% to 13.1% to 12.64% this quarter. Banks and capital mix market, the mix is 58% banks. We've in our past, through various interactions with all of you, we've kind of articulated that we would want to take this number to a number starting with 7. So we are on track for that. Apart from this, our liquidity position was comfortable with 964 crores cash balance as on September 30th. In the quarter, many lender doors opened for us. Quarter 3 holds equal promise. On the financial performance, our Q2 results are presented here with total income. Our total income this quarter was 311 crores. This is an increase of 20.1% compared to Q1, where it was 259 crores. On the net interest income, the net interest income is 219 crores, an increase of 35.2% compared to Q1 net interest income of 162 crores. Our yield in Q1 was 16.4%. In Q2, it is 19.5%, which is an increase of 310 bps compared to the previous quarter. Cost of borrowings, in the quarter, we had our cost of borrowing was 11.2%, which was 11.8% in the previous quarter, which is a decrease of 60 bps compared to Q1. Profit after tax we have declared is 55 crores. As you are aware, in the first quarter, we had declared a 220 crores of loss. On the business side, let me start with the various elements, starting with member acquisition. All of you are aware, and we've repeatedly said that our focus or our growth strategy will be driven by the member acquisition story. We acquired 1.23 lakh customers during the quarter, which was a growth of 16% over the previous quarter. We've said that our growth story will be customer acquisition led, and hence we are building the blocks, both culturally and identifying pockets of growth to further our plans. On the disbursement side, we disbursed 1,391 crores as against 1,320 crores in the previous quarter, which is a growth of 5%. And if I look at a YOY, which is quarter two of the previous year, it was 1150 crores. So YOY, it's a growth of 21%. On the AUM, our book has increased by 5% from the previous quarter. This is a trend reversal since the past few quarters. We had a declining AUM trend. On the portfolio composition, because this is very important, our portfolio composition, all of you are aware, comprised of two books or rather three books, post-April 21 and pre-March 21. Our book composition has changed from March of 2022. The post-April 21 book, which was 48%, and the reason why I am mentioning the post-April 21 book is that this is a new book post the COVID era. It has, and I'll while the you would have seen the numbers, but we'll spell out the numbers. You know, the portfolio is behaving well. It is a new book, so it is in line with what one would expect of a distribution house like Spandana. So the post-April 21 book, which was 48% in March 2022, became 70% end of quarter one and is now 82% in quarter two. So the post-COVID sourced book is 82% of our total portfolio. The new portfolio, as I said, is exhibiting good collection efficiency and hence assumes criticality. By end of quarter three, it will be upwards of 90% and onwards. We have a book of, as I said, now 5,782 crores, of which 4,730 crores, which is 82%, is giving us a net collection efficiency of 97.5%. This is slated to improve over the next couple of quarters. The pre-March 21 book, which is 1,052 crores, which is 18% of the overall book, is giving us a 88.7% net collection efficiency. This is excluding arrears. The residual book post write-off taken in Q1 is showing strong asset quality. We'll continue to pursue quality growth. Friends, you are aware, we've articulated in various forums our desire to strengthen our rural portfolio. Happy to announce that we are at 88%. Our overall rural portfolio now has increased to 88%. We will continue this journey because that is where the tier 3, 4, 5 or rather the Bharat of India, which we have already articulated, is very much a part of our Vision 2025 where we plan to grow. On the collection efficiency side, our total book, which is the entire book irrespective of the splits, has or is delivering us gross collection efficiency, and gross, as you are aware, includes the arrears. Gross collection efficiency of 101.3% and net collection efficiency of 93.3%. The provisioning position. We are adequately provisioned. The potential recovery upside from the written-off book is a plus. We've recovered 15 crores from the written-off portfolio in the quarter, in the previous quarter. We will continue to pursue this for the next two quarters. We anticipate reasonable upsides in this, and we have clearly articulated plans on how to engage with these customers and bring them back into the mainstream. The consolidated GNPA is 7.47%. The net NPA is 3.96%. The total provision that exists on the book is 303 crores, which is 5.23% of the AUM. On the balance sheet, net worth of the company is 2,867 crores with a capital adequacy of 45.3%. Our liquidity position remains strong. As on 30th September, as I said earlier, we had a cash and bank balance of 964 crores, which was almost equal to 4x of the required monthly liability. We have a diversified borrowing profile and are further deepening our relationships with new and existing partners. So to summarize the results and the way forward, we are moving as per plan. The lender's confidence, disbursement, member acquisition, portfolio quality are moving as per plan and in the right direction. We anticipate clear roads now for business. Spandana has a great distribution and a very good team of branch staff in the field and in HO. We are proud of them, and like in the past, we are confident that they will build a solid story on towards our vision 2025. We are strengthening the team at HO, at the senior and middle management. We have had 5 CXO levels joining us over the quarter. I will give you more update on the people story in the next quarter. Similarly, we've enhanced the board with addition of 2 more illustrious board members, Mr. Animesh Chauhan, former MD and CEO of Oriental Bank of Commerce, and Mr. Neeraj Swaroop, former regional CEO of Southeast Asia and Singapore Standard Chartered. So we are strengthening our board also to ensure that we move towards a more professional setup. On strengthening the organization, we added 300 loan officers during the quarter. Given the trajectory of growth that is required, we are planning to add another 752,000 loan officers in the current quarter. We continue to make progress on various technology initiatives which have been highlighted earlier. Our risk, audit and control teams are being strengthened as we speak. Thank you very much for the patient hearing. I will repeat very humbly what I said in the last call. We are playing a test match, and this is a cricketing parlance example. We are playing a test match and not a T20. We are building the organization. We have a task to deliver. We remain focused on our goal, which is Vision 2025. Thank you once again. I have the management team with me, and we are ready to take all the questions. Thank you very much, Faizan. Over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. First question is from the line of Jignesh Shial from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Jignesh.
Yeah, good. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on pretty decent set of numbers. Just a couple of questions I had, but firstly, I can see a pretty good improvement on the margin.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Shial. The audio is not coming clear now. Request if you can use
it. Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. So as I can see, there is a sequential jump or improvement on the margin trajectory side, which is from 9.9 to roughly around 13 plus. So how do you see it planning out to be in the coming quarters? because if I remember it correct, we have been guiding for somewhere around 10% sort of a margins. So do we see that numbers to come down, or this will be the new trajectory you're looking out for?
Hi, Jignesh.
Yeah, I have Ashish with me.
Yeah.
Hi, Jignesh. Ashish here.
Yeah, hi.
Thanks for the question. So 13%, yes, is the present name. We have discussed this last quarter, and our guidance was that we are looking at NIMs to be north of 12.5%, and this should continue.
Understood. So this is the new trajectory, and considering that the borrowing mix has improved significantly and expecting it to continue, we should see similar kind of margins going ahead also, right?
That's right.
Correct.
Yes. And just to give you a color, Jignesh, we moved to the new RBI framework on the 1st of July, where we increased our rates to 24% with the repo rates, which have been going up, and there is a further this thing. We will, or rather, we have increased our rates by 1% more, and we intend to stay put now for the next couple of quarters. So this is more in line with the market. So the reduction in the borrowing rate has to be looked at in the context of what is happening in the market. And obviously, our reach out to the and the support that we are getting from the various lenders.
Understood. Understood. So basically, we have a dual advantage whereby the cost of funds basically is coming down, whereas the rates have moved up, and that is basically flowing into the margins, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Secondly, obviously, there had been sequential surge on the Stage 3, as well as if I see it on the overall book net or collection efficiency, has also dipped a bit from 94 to 93.3. So this is overall book I'm saying about originally. I mean, post-2021 is pretty stronger. So how do you see that trend, and can you give some more color on it on the Stage 3 as well as on the collection efficiency side?
So let me answer this more holistically, and we are ready to happy to take detailed questions. See, there was a time when we were reaching out to the customers because there was some disruption on the data side, and hence we had to go and we collected a lot of arrears. So the past results have to be looked at in context. The current result also, if you see the gross collection efficiency of the book, as I mentioned somewhere in my commentary, it is at 101%. The point you are making is correct. It has dipped a bit, but then it is a temporary phase because we have been kind of doing multiple. We've been managing multiple priorities from a customer point of view and the quality of customer point of view. We are completely engaged with all the customers and a few bips here and there, including flows. If you remember the last time around, we had said that while we might see a few flows here and there, but overall, the quality of the book is now reasonably under control, more so with every quarter. When we see the customers will attrite because they would have expired their contracts of 24 months with whatever tail is left. At 82% on the new book, end of quarter next, it will be probably with a number starting at 9. I think we should continue to see both in percentage terms and in absolute terms improvement.
So is it fair to see or considering that overall your pre-21 book, April 2021 book is getting consolidated or gradually should see repayments and recoveries? Is it fair to assume that collection efficiency post-April 21 will be a new benchmark to keep an eye on it?
So any benchmark, forget a pre or a post, a microfinance book has to or should deliver upwards of 98.5% minimum.
Okay.
So that's the number that we are targeting at a book stage. Any number that starts with a double nine is what we aspire to. I think we should see those days very soon when we hit a quarter four or towards the end of quarter four. So a microfinance book, a quality book, should deliver a 98.5, 99, 99.25 kind of a number.
Understood. This is pretty helpful. Secondly, also just quickly, if I can get how the moment has happened, though you explained in your initial remark, but if I can just get a moment of how opening sequentially, how the opening disbursement and repayment has happened, and if there is any write-off during the quarter. If you can give me that kind of number, that will be really useful.
There has not been any write-off. So there is basically we have monthly repayments. So the book, you know, and average maturity of the book is roughly about 16 months or so. So that's how the book kind of runs down. Our disbursement for the quarter has been 1391 crores. And most of it was towards the end of the quarter and has the relative impact.
So the balance would be your repayments only since there is no write-off, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, perfect. That's really useful. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you, Jignesh. Thank you, Jignesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just have one question. Sir, are you still maintaining your disbursement target for the current year of 8,100 crores?
Yes.
Because in just first half, we have delivered around about around 2,700 odd crores. So, H2
yeah.
has to be really good.
Yes. So, Dhruv, let me explain. I go back to what I said at that time and I'm just repeating what I said. We said in the first quarter, we will disburse 1200 to 1300 crores. The second quarter will disburse 1400 to 1500 crores. Quarter three will be 2500 crores. Quarter three will be 3500 crores. This was the narrative. This was the quantification of the, you know, the plan that we had and we are sticking to the plan.
Okay, so great. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, two questions. Firstly, your margins have now reached normalized levels. Credit costs have also reached normalized levels. How should we think about ROA? What is the operating leverage we should build in over the next couple of years? And what is the normalized ROA that you expect from this business?
Yeah, so we would talk more from a perspective of, you know, the normalized or BAU or, you know, maybe when we are fully in a BAU. Maybe if you are talking about a couple of years down the line, we aspire to be in the range of, you know, 4 to 4.5% kind of a ROA when the leverage and everything will play out. That's the kind of ROA we are looking at. Hello. Nidesh, did I answer your question? Nidesh?
This is the operator.
Yeah. Yeah, Faizan.
Nidesh, your line is in talk. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So, just a follow-up on this. So, the incremental kicker on ROA will come from which line item of the PN? Because I think the only lever that we have left, which is left from this earning, this quarterly performance is on the OPEX front, OPEX to AUM.
I think there are two other levers which we have not talked about. One is we expect the, you know, the cost of borrowings also to come down further. One. Two, if you look at the yield, presently the yield is at 19.5%, but on an ideal basis, if I have to look at the yield, it should improve at least another 100 to 150 basis points. Given that we are coming out of COVID and there is a book which has a you know, some bit of you know, overdues or whatever, as this book, you know, kind of winds out, your yield should start improving. Having said that, Shalabh kind of initially covered in his commentary that, you know, our new disbursement will be at a higher rate of interest. The H2 disbursements is going to be at 25% rate of interest, and this should start playing out by Q4 and should have a positive impact on the yield, which will also drive your ROA.
Sure, sure. And second question is on the asset quality, basically on the collection efficiency. On the new book, the collection efficiency is around 97.5%. And I think on the old book, the collection efficiency has deteriorated quite sharply in this quarter versus last quarter, because in the new book, the collection efficiency has remained stable and the share of new book has gone up. So how should we think about the incremental credit cost? Because we still have 4% net NPA. And my belief is that that may lead to higher incremental credit costs in coming quarters. How do we think about that number? And how should we also think about the 97.5% collection efficiency on the new book?
Nidhesh, the way we looking at it is, yes, there has been slippage, but this should not definitely result into, you know, losses. The engagement with the customer is there. Between 1 to 90 book, if I look at, 95% of the customers have been engaged with us and have paid more than one installment during the quarter. So clearly, we earlier in the call we have explained that we are bringing in more more field force on the ground, which will help us do some focused drives on the ground to address the engagement issues. More to say, the customer has shown intent. It is just that we need to, you know, be little more engaged with them for you know, better outcome, and this should start playing out from this quarter onwards. So our strong belief is that you know, we will be able to improve upon whatever the marginal slippages that have happened in this quarter. In Q3, you should start seeing a much better kind of outcome from the book.
Just to supplement, Nidhesh, if we presented it in our slide 13, if you see all the stages, there has been a slip in the 90 plus, of which the new book contribution in the fresh slippage is about 0.29%. Rest everything is old book. Well, I'm not saying there's a problem with the old book. The old book are the customers who are very well engaged, and that's the reason why we've held on to that portfolio. If you see the other stacks, which is stage 1, both in the current, the 1 to 30, stage 2, you know, there we've seen some improvement. One can argue that there has been a slippage from there into a greater than 90, yes, sure. But from a pure play quality of the portfolio and the customer and the engagement levels of the customer, I think we are comfortable and we hold on to the story that we kind of narrated when we were decided to take the write-off. We were clear that, you know, the set of customers who we thought was not worth pursuing is what we decided to, you know, write off, and the others are customers. Through our various analysis and our engagement and our field report, they are fine. So, you know, so these flows here and there, we will still see them between quarter 3 and quarter 4. But from a you know, a real damage perspective, I don't think so. You know, so we maintain what we said the first time around.
So incrementally, we should not expect any elevated credit cost from the current book.
No, so we had said that the new book on a standalone minus the COVID, if you remember the Q4 results that we presented, we said it's going to be under 2%. It is going to be half of that, you know, is my intelligent guess on the new book part. We are on the old book, either way, you know, it is attriting because, you know, we are seeing all those customers seeing the end of their loans, number two. Number three is, from a provisioning perspective, we are well covered in terms of, you know, if at all there were some slips were to happen. But overall, you know, we do not anticipate any, you know, anything which would happen or would lead to a deficiency in the judgment that we had, you know, when we kind of walked this path. So to that extent, I think, you know, we are good. The slips and the flows, given the nature, see, we have to consider that as a company, we have almost 98-99%, which is a monthly book, a monthly repayment. So it is difficult for the customers to really, you know, move the reverse bucket once they really slip, and that's the challenge that we have. So that we are kind of, at least Q2 was very, very critical, that we've kind of reasonably managed to wade. I think Q3, Q4, with the decline in that book, plus the overall engagement levels, I think we should be fine.
Sure, sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Nitesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So, sir, just one question on this, the 18% of AUM, which is 1,000 plus crore. Now, if I back calculate the collection efficiency on this 18%, it is roughly around 75 to 80%. I mean, let's say 82% of the book is having 97.5 collection. And when we have a blended collection of 93, that 18% of the book should be around 75 to 80% of collection. And when I look at the stage 3 assets, it is around 420. So, sir, what is happening with this 600 crore of the balance book? Because of that also restricted book is hardly anything. So, if you can help me with some reconciliation on this 1,000 crore book, which is the pre-March book, pre-April book, sorry.
Yeah, hi, Ranish. Ashish this side. The collection efficiency on the 18% book is 88.7%.
This is the net.
This is the net collection efficiency.
Okay.
And
hello.
So that's the number. I mean, if that is what you were asking for, 88.7% will be the collection efficiency on the old book. The simple averages when you do the disbursement on the four. I mean, this will not actually give you the right color because not all book would have had any dues in the current quarter, right? I mean, so collection efficiency is what was due vis-a-vis against that, how it was collected. So as you go forward, you will see this number, kind of improving in terms of, because the book which has been disbursed in this quarter was, like I said, was disbursed primarily towards the end of the quarter. We'll see its dues and recoveries, in the coming quarter only.
Ranish, just to give you some numbers on the question that you asked, the net collection efficiency of the pre-March book is 88.7, and the gross collection efficiency is 97.2%. So it has to be looked at in context of the narrative that we've been saying, that these are the customers who are, who are paying but with a lag and with a arrear. Obviously, given a monthly liability that they have, it is difficult for them to really clear off their two or three installments. Hence, the pace is slow, not what you or I would want, or not what we would definitely want. But I think, with a declining book, and we are able to hold, a 97.2 on a gross. I think, and a net also, if I see at a 88.7, closer to 89%, I think we are there.
Okay, so again, just a follow-up. Okay, so in this 1,000 crore, only 400 crore is stage 3 and 100 crore is restructured. So balance 500 crore, are you seeing this book as a stress book, or do you see this will recover over a period of time?
This will repair, and that's why I said, so this, the reason why it is here means obviously it was not a regular book, otherwise it won't be here. Having said which, it is not something that we can, kiss goodbye. We have great engagement with each of these customers. It is just that there is no way they can jump from a greater than 90 into a standard. Hence, they will take their time. Most of them will wait for their loan tenure to be over, and then the extended tenure will kind of get them back into, a loan termination. So that's how it is. So we'll have to bide our time and see, how their individual loans run out. In parallel, obviously, basis the new disbursements that we are doing, our regular book, which is at 82, will obviously keep on increasing. And by end of the year, I think, pre-March 21 book should be a lower single digit.
So just a last question, so is it fair to assume that the stage 3 assets in absolute terms, which is 4.2 billion, is picked out at current level, or we feel that, there will be some flow forward from this 1,000 crore book and it should ideally pick out in Q3?
Hey, Renish, so there is a nuance to the question you are asking, and you know, I will just attempt, maybe I'm not able to communicate. I am saying the flows could be there. I'm not saying they will not be there. But the so-called bad customers have peaked out. If that is, you know, I'm just answering your question slightly differently. The customers, will I be stressed, or as an institution, will we be stressed to take a write-off, etc.? Unlikely. Right now, the way they are and the way the story goes, they will drag themselves towards the end of the tenure, and that is how they will kind of exhaust themselves. That is how it is going to work.
Got it, sir. Good enough, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So, a couple of questions. One being, so what is the incremental cost of funds?
Please use the handset mode. The audio is not clear from your line.
Sure. Is it better now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of questions. One is, what is the incremental benefit on cost of funds because of revision in rating stance? And a follow-up there. So 33% of our borrowing mix today is coming from capital markets. So given that the shorter end of the curve and the capital markets have been slightly tight of late, so do you see any change of liability mix going forward? That's the first question.
Okay. Do you want me to answer the question, Shweta, or you want to put out your other question also?
I'll go ahead and answer, and then ask the
next question. Basically, the liability mix, our stated position is that we would want to improve on the exposure with the banks, right? We would want to take it closer to, you know, 75% over a period of next couple of quarters. And the capital market exposure should, you know, come down to around 25% or so. Having said that, we do have interest even on the capital market transactions. If you see in the current quarter also, there have been certain transactions that we have done. But when we look at microfinance space, the primary funding is being done by the banks. Given that we originate a lot of book which is helpful to meet the agri and the priority requirements of the bank, they do tend to, you know, give us a good amount of support on the funding side, and that's what we would want to, you know, leverage on. The one thing which should also play out in the second half of the financial year is many more PTC transactions and DA transactions is what we feel will help us, you know, improve the share of the banks.
Sure, noted, sir. So second question is on, so you mentioned in your presentation and also in the opening remarks that 46% of your new disbursements are coming from new customers. So what has been the strategy on the new customer acquisition front, especially where we are coming from, you know, the transformational stage?
Okay, so I'll give you a 60-second answer. So what happens, Shweta, is when you look at the composition of a microfinance book, our current distribution or the portfolio that we have, about 33% comprises of customers who have a relationship only with Spandana. Another 34% are customers who have a relationship with the Spandana plus one more financer. You know, so this is about 67-68%. If you go back to the Vision 2025 we had laid out along with the quarter four deck, we had very clearly said that our growth story will be customer acquisition led. We are conservative, or we will be conservative on ticket sizes. We are still not there. We will be, walking towards that. But this 66-67%, which is a single lender relationship and a 1+1 relationship, we as a company want to take it to 80%, 80-81%. then 1 plus 1 plus 1 will be another 11 to 12%, and then rest will be single digit. Consciously on the field, we are reaching out and trying to disburse more and more to customers who are new to us. It could be a mix of the three books or two books that we have said, but clearly our direction is either a direct single relationship or a 1 plus 1. We want to churn the existing base a little bit. We've identified about 4 to 5 lakh customers where we feel that at some stage they will go or we will have to let them go. A new customer, set of customers entering your books is always a good way to refresh your portfolio, because they come with a new, they are obviously in geographies where their liabilities are less, plus they are more current in terms of the way the JLG works. So this is a part of a conscious strategy, and that's why 46 of the 100 customers that we've disbursed in the last quarter are new customers to to Spandana. We will continue this approach for the next right until FY 2025, and that's how we've kind of projected our numbers.
Thank you, sir. So one last question from my side. So we are closer to book today. You just explained the customer acquisition strategy, and we had the capital infusion happening in Q4 with gearing standing at very favorable level. So where do you see the book now from this 6,000 odd number in next 1 to 2 years?
So gearing is your question, Shweta. We are at, I think, 1.2x, 2.1 or something. Anything south of 4, we will be comfortable. That is the leverage we would want to carry, which is a long way off, obviously, from where we are. So that's the ideal one. That's our direction. The cap, as I said, the balance sheet, and I'll ask Ashish to chip in. The balance sheet, as I said, is pretty strong. Directionally, we are very clear in terms of which way we want to go. Ashish. So gearing will be at any number south of 4x is a good enough number for us. But directionally, that's the thing. This is right until FY 25.
Okay, noted, sir. Thank you so much for patiently answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Bise from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good quarter. You mentioned about OPEX. How long before we again start adding branches?
Acha, so Sameer, your question is, you're asking when will we start the new opening new branches.
Yes.
Is that what
that?
So the effort starts this quarter. This was, I go back to our narrative. We said first two quarters will be consolidation. The growth story starts now. We will open. We have already a plan to open, branches between Q3 and Q4. All put together, we've projected roughly about 400 plus 160, 560 branches all put together from now until FY25. Now, for branches to deliver, we will have to ensure that, we kind of open all of them max Q1 of FY25, for which we'll have to start the effort now. So we would want to get the maximum runway for every branch to kind of deliver and make meaningful contribution. The opening of new branches starts this quarter. Sameer.
Okay. And secondly, the staff cost is lower QOQ. Was there an arrear angle in prior quarter?
What is the arrear angle?
I mean,
So, Sameer, basically we had some programs that we have run between Q4 and Q1. Which were having those one-time payments, and that's how the number for Q1 was higher. But right now the number that we have is pretty much, the stabilized kind of a cost, employee cost for us.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on the quarter. So, firstly, my question was on the disbursements. So, while if we see in June quarter, we had already clocked in close to 900 crore of disbursements. Then, what led to the run rate sort of moderating in 2Q?
So, Shripal, look, once again, sorry, I'm going back to my old this thing. It's two factors. One is we are running multiple priorities and they will continue until the year end. Priorities are more in terms of control, governance, supervision, putting the risk and the audit teams in place, managing, acclimatizing the field to the new tech stack that we kind of rolled out to the field, which will help us do the supervision, control, monitoring, etc. in a good way. So we had very clearly said that, you know, this is the pace that we will take, which is, you know, about 1300 to 1500 crores in quarter two and then 2500 and 3500. So we are just following the narrative, which we thought we are following the numbers that we had sought.
You have 61 seconds.
Funding of what will give us good enough time to invest in the areas that I have just about spelled out to you. So it is a part of the plan. It will be a back end.
Got it, sir. Got it. Just wanted to check because if there was anything specific that happened, so just ask that question. So the second question was on the liquidity front. So if you look at while on a conservative basis, we are
making 30. Second.
But going ahead by FY23 end or in normal FY24, what is the percentage of liquidity that you would want to maintain on balance sheet?
Sorry, Shripal, we lost you in between for a couple of seconds. Are you asking what kind of liquidity we will be maintaining by the year end?
On balance sheet. Yeah, by the year end and in normal, in a business as usual year, that is FY24.
Okay. Hi, Shripal. Sorry, I'll just respond to the question on the how we are going to look at the liquidity. Internally, we do. We have a conscious decision that, you know, we will stay put liquid from a balance sheet standpoint, and idea is to maintain, you know, cash in bank of anything north of 2 months of our obligation. So we will be liquid for some period of time. Actually, this is something that is always good for a microfinance company to have enough and more liquidity on the balance sheet. So we will run it a little conservatively.
Got it. Sir, in the presentation, it's been mentioned that there is a strategy to add another 1,000 loan officers. So it will all be in 3Q only, and what is the level of AUM per loan officer that we are comfortable in a normal business as usual environment?
The normal AUM per loan officer, if it is anywhere between 125 lakhs, which is 1.25 crores, is a decent number. Anything south of 1 crores. Crore is not a very exciting number, which we are at this point in time. Any number which is around 1.5 crores is a great number to aspire. So in a short term, right now what we've done is that the 1,000 loan officers we have kind of allocated. We've slightly operational, but we are in the branches and the portfolio which is doing good. We are trying to hit a loan borrower per borrowers per loan officer in the range of about 450 to 500. That's the destination model. So we have it, and separately I can take you through the numbers, but it's a detailed one. What we are trying to do is to ensure that in the next few quarters we get to a enterprise level average of about 1.25 to 1.3 crores and then onwards into 1.5.
Got it, sir. Got it. Sir, just one last question on this new customer acquisition that we have done. So, where, if you could give some color from the geography
point of view. Is it from the newer geography or from the from our main geography such as Odisha, MP, or is it from the new geographies?
No, so we are mindful of the concentration and the fact that we can't be stacked into a specific geography. So the acquisition is very secular across the wherever we are. One, two. In fact, it is the other way around. Focus on is any branch which is not at a optimal level of AUM that we would want is where we push more, because that is for us to we have to drive the profitability metrics as well. So all the new branches, for example, that we are going to open this quarter and the next quarter will all be only customer acquisition. So you will see this, you know, this number kind of either in the same range. Any number upwards of 40 is good in terms of a distribution. So that's the level that we are going to drive. In terms of your specific questions, it's a secular one across all geographies. Wherever we start hitting the ceiling, where we are not very comfortable, is where we slightly tone down the customer acquisition number and then we focus on the existing customers.
Got it. So one last question. Like you had answered this to a previous participant, but just from different angle. So you said that you have 33% of the customers which are unique to Spandana currently. And the thought process is to bring it down to close to 8 to 10%. Is that the understanding right?
No. Sorry. I don't think, let me repeat what I said. Our single lender relationship portfolio is 33% customers. 1+1, which is with Spandana and one more financer, is 34%. That put together is 67%. This together from a 67 as an enterprise in the next 2 to 3 quarters, we would want to take it to a 80%.
Okay.
Which means you will have to definitely take up the 33 to a 38, 39, 40. There is no other option. And the other piece also has to move up simultaneously.
Got it, sir. Got it, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. And good luck for the next quarter, sir.
Thank you, Shreepal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, first question, I think you had mentioned something about write-backs. So if you can shed some light on, you know, what, because we have also done a lot of write-offs in the previous quarter. So how was the collection, if any, from those pool which we have already written off? And what is the expectation going forward? And second is, so this 97.5% on the new book is sort of still below, you know, what is your expectation, from a BAU point of view. So what is sort of holding back this book from behaving at a pristine collection efficiency quality sort of a metric? Can answer these two, sir.
Hi, Sarvesh. This is Ashish. I'll answer the first one and then I'll request Shalab to, you know, kind of talk about the new book and how it is going to play out. So in terms of the collection from the return of books, we had 14 crores that we have collected in the current quarter. The way to look at it is, if you have to go by the industry benchmarks, then anywhere between, 10 to 20%, around 15% or so is the industry benchmarks in terms of collections from the return of portfolio. Over a period of a year and a half. So one should expect us to, you know, have at least similar numbers, if not better. Given that we are going to make some focused drives on the ground, these numbers should be better in my mind.
So just to supplement, the last quarter, we've recovered about 15 crores from the write-off book. The next two quarters, we have plans to recover about 40 crores minimum. We will do more than that. That's number one. Number two is on your question about 97.5%. So Sarvesh, the gross collection efficiency, so deliberately if you would have seen, we as a team, we are trying to culturally bring about a change where the timely collection of money is very important, which is the net and the gross ideally should not be any gross. You know, ideally everything should come on time at the same place, on the day it is due. Right now we have a net collection efficiency of 97.5, as you said, on the post-April 21 book. The gross, if I see, which is arrears, with arrears, you know, our collection efficiency is 105% of the same book. So I deliberately sort of muted that entire narrative, because when we speak to our teams, it is not about the 105, it is about the 97.5 moving to a 90, as I said, you know, upwards of 98.5, and greater than 99 is what we are aspiring to. So that is what we are pursuing. Slowly, the net of 97.5, we anticipate to see a figure upwards of 98.5 and 99, around about that number. So we've narrated, we've given you both the numbers. The gross number also is 105, but then obviously it comes with a lag, which might not be what a microfinance institution ideally should be very, very happy about.
So how soon do we expect to get to this aspirational number of 98.5 to 99.25?
Yeah, we are targeting this quarter and the next quarter for all of whatever I have said. Anything beyond, because now COVID is kind of done and settled, there we have a book which is now 82%, so there is no reason for us to really hit that number. And we obviously have started, we've already started working with the field on the ground to ensure that, this is kind of, we kind of hit this, because then it will be a perfectly BAU situation.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Chheda from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So on disbursements, sir, you had highlighted the trajectory, particularly for Q3, Q4, and totaling to which comes to around 8,500. But on AUM also, we had guided around 8,500 crores of AUM by this year end, right?
The audio is breaking from your line, sir. Please check.
Yeah, is it audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So, sir, I wanted to ask that on disbursement, we guided around 8,500 crores for the full year, the numbers which we told for Q3, Q4, sounds for much. But on AUM also, we had guided for 8,200 crore of closing AUM by this year's end. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Given that our disbursement is largely in the second half and the Q4 will be a higher number, you know, the AUM is likely to, you know, close north of 8,000 crores, anywhere between 8,000 and 8,500 crores.
Correct. So even if we expect, say, some flow through in the 90-plus DPD, but as far as its share in the current book is concerned, maybe 90 DPD plus and 1 to 90 DPD, the share in the book should have dropped out in this quarter. Is that correct assumption to make? So the share will keep dropping in the coming quarters because of the high growth?
Yeah, on percentage terms,
mathematically, yes.
Mathematically, absolutely, yes. But we do expect, improvement from in absolute terms also is what we were trying to explain earlier in the call.
Yeah, that I got it, sir. Yeah, sir, that was the only question. Congrats for this quarter on a very strong operating performance and wish you all the best for the coming quarters as well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena for closing comments. Thank you. And over to you, sir.
Thank you very much once again to all the participants on the call. It's over the quarter when we reach out or when we have a chat with each one of you separately, not everyone, but you know, whosoever we manage to strike a conversation or vice versa. We've had good response and good feedback on various initiatives that we would have taken. There are many ideas that also flow into us, and thank you very much for kind of giving us those valuable piece of advice. We've set out on a mission which is to get to the numbers, but it is less about numbers, more about how we do it. It's while the destination counts, but the process towards the journey towards the destination is very, very important, and that is what we are embarked on. We will ensure that we deliver quality. We will ensure that we create an organization which which people will be proud of. And thank you. You are an integral stakeholder to this whole journey, and thank you very much for all the support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Spandana Spurti Financial Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.